All right, we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump right in this lesson for this training school. Father Yah, we just acknowledge you first of all before all things, and we are excited to be in your presence. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for that. We also declare that we will put everything that we understand into action. Thank you for your Son and your Spirit. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Right. We'll be coming from 2 John chapter 1. And we'll deal with some things in it. And, you know, my prayer is that it be a blessing and we walk out of here with some things to add to our understanding. 2 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Now, if y'all could think back on some of the things that we've been dealing with, the structure of the church, and a few other things, we can see in the scripture that things have constantly went on to hinder the truth. And we'll look at one such example of how the John was dealing with some things in reference to the truth being hindered. But throughout the history of the church, there's always been false Christ and false prophets and different things like that. And so nothing, the scripture talk about there, there's nothing new under the sun. And so things haven't changed to date. You have so many people who use the scriptures and not many not many teach the truth or deal with things the way that the apostles and the prophets and things like that, the men who were inspired to write things down, and we learn from these things. We as mankind has gotten so far away from these things, and I'm very prayerful and hopeful that so I say it this way, just include myself. I'm prayerful and hopeful that we are on course, and not only that we are, but that we stay on course. I think there are a lot of us preachers who have started out this thing, and some may have been on course initially and have gotten off course, and then you have others who were never on course. And that's what I like about what John was saying as he was addressing the late lady and her children. This is also another evidence that there were certain things that women was involved with as far as ministry was concerned. Even to the point to where John wrote a book, you know, and referenced her. And so it's just that, you know, it's just so much carnality and things like that when it comes down to the scripture that we overlook these very important issues and fail to realize that although there's a structure as far as the kingdom is concerned, you know, women are very much involved in this thing. And so again, Paul addresses it, verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. She was walking in truth, her and the children. It doesn't mention a husband, and so, you know, there's no reason to try to figure out, you know, what happened to her husband, or if she had a husband, or she's a widow. It's no good trying to figure it out, because the Bible doesn't address it. So we don't spend our time being concerned with trying to figure out that. It says, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Truth is going to dwell in us and be in us forever if we hold fast to the truth. Okay. Verse 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from Yah, the Father, and from the Lord, Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. You know, it's unique how you will get people that will go to John chapter 1, and it says to the left of the screen, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. You get people who pervert the truth by saying that John was referring to the Word, especially because when you get to verse 14, it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, because people read verse 14, the Word was made flesh, then they'll go back up to verse 1 and say, in the beginning was the Word, Christ. It's an addition. We don't add to, we don't take away. So, as we've discussed this many a time, anytime the scripture mentions in the beginning was the Word, we have to go to Genesis. Because that's where the Bible says the beginning is. You can get mankind, say the world is, or the earth is 10 million years old and all that. They can have it. And then, you know, they'll try to fit different things in the Bible and stuff like that. What we do is we stick with the text. So in the beginning, we have to use the Bible to state what that is. So Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning, Yah created. So anytime I read the word in the beginning, that's where I'm going. Now, this John says in verse 1 to the left of the screen, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. Now, when you look at 2 John chapter 1, if that was what he was truly saying, if that's what was truly being said in chapter 1, then you would see the same thing being said in 2 John 1, verse 3. But clearly, John knows who is God, and clearly John knows who is the Son. And he referenced that in verse 3. I'll get out of John 1. He referenced that in verse 3 where he says, grace be with you, mercy and peace from Yah the Father and from the Lord Yahushua Mashiach, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Verse 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Okay? He was telling the elect lady that we have a commandment that's not new, and that commandment is that we love one another. Now, verse 6 is where it really gets interesting. It says, and this is love. You want to know what love is? You get people say a lot of time, well, Yah is love, the truth, because the scripture does say that. But when we look at verse 6, it says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. We in other words, we obey the truth. We walk in the truth. He says to us, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That is love. Okay? And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Now, he tells us, he said, now, verse 5, he said, from the beginning, he told us to love one another. Then he says, this is the love, that we obey his commandments. And then he reminds us again, he said, this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye walk in it. You want me to tell you how we show love for one another? We obey his commandments. When we walk in truth, it is the greatest expression of love for our own fellow man. Scripture coming to mind, and put up another Bible. You've heard these scriptures over and over and over and over, but we're going to keep pounding it in over and over and over until we get it. Am I in the wrong book? Maybe I am. Maybe it's 7. Yep, I was in the right one in the first place. Now, again, as I mentioned in reference to verse 5, the greatest way to show our love for our fellow man is to obey the commandments, to walk in truth. Because when we walk in that truth, then it manifests what Christ told us as his disciples how we should walk. As he said in Matthew 5, when he says in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, its flavor, wherein shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. You, each one of us, you are the illumination for the world. Okay, what are we displaying? The love of Yah. How do we display it? By obeying the commandments of Yah. When people look at each one of us, they should be able to see the commandments of Yah manifesting in the earth. That's why verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it on the bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. When you shine before men, they see the good works. And who do they glorify? Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your good deeds, your obeying of the commandments, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the best way each one of us can express our love toward our fellow man is by obeying the commandments and giving him a beaker that he could follow. I'm going to ask you a question now. When you are on display, what are you illuminating? What is illuminating out of you? When I'm on display, what is illuminating out of me? Is the love of Yah illuminating out of me? Because the only way the love of Yah is going to illuminate out of me is I have to obey the word. When I obey the word now, somebody can take note of that work and they'll start looking to the Father. Just like at one time or another, all of us had to do. Verse 16 again, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Verse 5 now, 2 John 1. Again. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I write a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. I need love from you. You need love from me. How do we give it? And this is love, that we walk in His commandment. I need you to walk in truth, because you walking in truth encourages me to walk in truth. You need me to walk in truth, because me walking in truth encourages you to walk in truth. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Walk in love. Again, I can't say it enough. The greatest display of the love of God is to walk in His commandments before men. Why is that so important? Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. The reason why it's so important for us to walk in truth and for us to obey the commandments is because there's something out there that is walking in falsehood and leading people away from the love of Yah and His commandments. The same way that deceiver has entered into the world, we have to enter into the world to display the commandments of Yah. A deceiver has entered into the world to hinder people and to cause them to not obey the commandments of Yah. Well, we got to go out in the world and cause people to turn from Yah through the love that we display through obeying His commandments. Verse 8, look to yourselves that ye lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Why are you going to listen to this stuff and then half do it? That's my version. If I had wrote that, that's how I would have said it. That's pretty much how he said it, but I'm just saying, you know, I'd have said it get on Dallas style, you know, Honey Grove Surf City style. That's how I wrote it down. How you gonna get this in? Then you gonna have to do it. But John said, "Look to yourself. Get in the mirror. Don't be sweeping around my front door. Sweep around your own front door. Look to yourself. Don't question my walk. Look at yours. Lord, don't question folks' walk. You make sure you're walking. Because you are the light. And if you make sure you're walking, you're going to influence somebody who may be not walking. Now, y'all take that for yourself. So don't hear the message for me, hear it for you. Don't leave out of here and say, "Woo, Pastor told them." No, I told you. I was talking right to you. I was stepping on your corn. I was in your row. I sit beside you. I look you in the face. I said, look to yourself. I was talking to you. One of the things we got to make an effort to do when it comes down to the kingdom of our God is never listen to a message with somebody else in mind. Always sit down and listen to it to see where does it fit you and how does it deal with you. And did you hear that for you? So verse 8 says, look to yourselves. Everybody get personal with this thing. Look to yourself. Why? That we lose not those things which we have wrought. What does wrought mean? What does wrought mean? Toil. Engaged in. Labor for. Look to yourselves, everybody. Check yourself, everybody. And by us checking ourselves, we are examining our own self, that we all lose not those things which we've labored for. Why give your life to Yah in Christ all this time, and then we want to stop shining right now? We want to get weary and well-doing right now. We want to get discouraged because there are some things maybe going on with us physically that you know, we weren't expecting to take place, and now we're wrestling and struggling with our relationship with Yah, and we forget how much we toiled to get to this point. Be doggone, not me. I worked hard to get to this point. I ain't finna quit now. There's been a lot of studying and a lot of praying and a lot of tears and a lot of successes and a lot of fall downs and a whole lot of experiences. I don't work too hard now to lose it. I done spent 30 years in this here, 30 plus. I don't work too hard to lose it. You work too hard to lose it. So we have to make up our mind and look to ourselves and say, no matter what, I don't care how it look, I don't care how good it get, I don't care how bad it get, I am not going to lose on that which I toil for. Shoot. Be doggone. Is a tumor going to stop the toil? Heck no. Is dialysis going to stop the toil? Heck no. Is radiation going to stop the toil? Hell no. Yeah, I said hell. I got passionate then. Nothing can separate, or nothing. I'm going to speak this by faith now, because this is how I'm thinking. And since I'm thinking this way, you listening to this nut, you got to be even thinking this way or close to it. Nothing can separate us from the love of Yah. What is the love? His commandments. Nothing can separate us from His word. I don't care how base it get. I don't care how bounding it get. I don't care how tough it get. Nothing can separate us from the love of Yah. Always be ready to be on display to show the world that they are loved by Yah, because you obey His commandments, and they see that and glorify our Father. So look to yourself, that we lose not those things which are, which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I don't know about you, but I want all mine. I want all of God. I don't want some of Him. I don't want a half love. I don't want half the truth. I want the full reward. And I encourage you to think the same way. Then he goes on and he says in verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. When you start to hear me preach, and my preaching is not in line with the doctrine of Christ, I am a deceiver now. I don't care how many wonderful sermons I preached in the past about the doctrine of Christ. The minute I start transgressing by not preaching the doctrine of Christ, I have not God. It's not like telling on myself. I give you a signpost to show you when I done got crazy. You know, Pastor Boss ain't been glorifying Jesus lately. That boy hath not God. We listen to somebody who hath not God. Now you take me and you put the rest of us in that same basket. Anytime you hear any preacher that is so busy about preaching on other little things besides the doctrine of Christ, you are looking at somebody who hath not God. Can't no other foundation that any man lay except that which is laid, and that's Jesus Christ, Yahushua Mashiach. Verse 9, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. That's who I roll with. That's why I'm passionate about sticking with the book. Because I want both of them. I want the Father and the Son. Now with that in mind, and I'm about finished, yo. If verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, if any come to you teaching any other doctrine but the doctrine that Christ and the prophets and the apostles taught, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, no private interpretation, but instead saying exactly what they saying and the way that they say it. If any that come among you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house. He told his lady, he said, anybody come and talk about any other stuff, don't let them in your house. That's why I tell preachers all the time. And I had a lot of preachers over the years to tell me that the law was going to, you know, I've had some preachers tell me, the law is going to speak to you and tell me to tell you to bring me to your church and let me preach. You know, when you going to invite me to your church to preach? Be like, look at him, man. If you ain't preaching the doctrine of Christ, you ain't got to never, ever. I even leave it VI. I go B. Ever worry about preaching that at the ministry. Because the book says, if there come any among you and bring not the doctrine, not this doctrine, receive him not into your home, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partakers of his evil deeds. That's why I don't fool with anything. If I roll with you, I agree with you. And whatever you doing, I'm a partaker of it. Cause I'm right there while you doing it. Oh, somebody need to go back up to verse 8 and look to yourself when I said that. If they doing it and you there looking at it and you cheesing and grinning with it, you a partaker of it. It's a mindset. Christ said, and I'm going to paraphrase it, if a man looking at a woman and lusted in his heart, he's committed adultery with her. It's a mental thing. I cannot put my hands on a woman, but to Yah, I slept with her because my mind was wounded. Likewise, when we look at the scripture, what the scripture is letting us know is that if we partakers in other people's action, although we're not physically doing it, but we're there being a partaker of it, we're just as guilty as they are. Ever heard of guilty by association? Be in a car with a drug addict, a drug dealer, and let him have a car full of cocaine, and let the police pull him over and see if they're going to let you go. You guilty by association. You going right on to the big house with the rest of them. Unless that drug dealer admit all of it was here. He can sit there and say, I don't know who it was. You're going to be just as guilty as everybody else. With those examples in mind, that's what the scripture is letting us know. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your home, neither bid him Godspeed. Why? For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partakers of his evil deeds. What is Godspeed? Godspeed. Happy, well off, be glad, cheerful. Let me paraphrase it. If you cheesing and grinning when they doing their dirt, you just as guilty as the rest of them. You know they wrong, but you kind with them though. The Bible says you are partakers with it when you do that. Then as he said in verse 12 and 13, and I'm done. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Short book, but very enlightening, because it encourages us to walk in the love of Yah by obeying his word and walking in truth. As I close, always examine ourselves. And continue in what you labored for. one of the saddest things is for a person to labor to accomplish something, and then right at the end of it, they just give up. That's what I used to say when I was in the world, so to speak, for lack of a better way to put it. I had plenty of preachers to try to get me on the altar, and they used to ask me, did I want to be saved? And it was, you know, I admit, when that happened to me, it was like one of the most, you know, they were some of the most uncomfortable feelings. You know, it's like I'm feeling pressure. Come here, young man. I go up there, don't you want to be saved? And I'd answer. I'd tell them, no. You mean to tell me, young man, you don't want to be saved? No. Why you don't want to be saved? Because when I do, I ain't going to be playing. And if I come up here and get saved today, I'm going to leave out of here and be playing. Sir, I don't want to go to hell, but I'd rather go to hell than to come and play in church. I used to tell them all. God knows I don't want to go to hell, but I'd rather go before I go play. Because when I do give my life to Him, it's going to be a done deal. Ain't no turning back. So until I examine myself and make sure that I am committed to this here. No, sir, I don't want to be saved. Sure don't. Mm-mm. Well, okay, young man. If that's how you see it, that's how I see it, that's how I feel about it. When I get saved, so to speak, it's going to be a commitment and a toil that is going to be in my life forever. Verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. This thing is a forever commitment to me. That's one thing I am sure about. And I encourage you to have that same surety. All right, I'm done. Any questions, comments? We good? All right. Dear y'all, we come to you first of all just to thank you for your love that you shed upon us by first sending your Son. Then you gave us your Word. And we appreciate you also giving us your Spirit to lead and guide us in truth and understanding who you are, your Son, and understanding of the Word. You set us up well, and you've given everything possible. You've given us everything possible to finish this race and to continue to toil. For we know that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We're going to finish stronger than we started out. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.